reading this morning, we're looking at Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Letushim, and Leumim. Whoa. And the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher, and Hanok and Abida and Elda, all these were the children of Keturah. You get all that? Some of these names, I tell you. Anyway, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah, his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masa, Hadar, and Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedemah. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns and by their castles. 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, when she bare him. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Okay, we'll be looking at this in just a few moments. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Genesis 25. We look at this portion of Scripture. I was thinking about this. I put a title on it, Life Goes On. Life Goes On. We followed Abraham in his walk of faith from Ur of the Chaldees all the way into the Promised Land, and as he went from place to place, he put his faith in the true and the living God, trusted him to fulfill all of his promises. He and his faithful wife, Sarah, waited for 25 years to receive the answer to their prayer when their son Isaac was born. After watching him become a man, Sarah died at the age of 127. And was buried in the cave Abraham bought for that purpose. As we saw last week, Abraham sent his most trusted servant to find a wife for Isaac. And in answer to his prayer, God led him to Rebekah. You remember? He prayed and asked the Lord. He says, "Lord, here we are by the well. May it be so that the first lady who comes along to get water would say, 'Here, take a drink of water, and I'll also feed your camels.'" You know, "I'll water your camels, rather. May that be the one that I need for my master Isaac." And sure enough, before he finished talking, Rebekah came and did exactly what he had requested. So God answered his prayer in a very specific and abundant way. And in answer to that prayer, God led him in a very specific way. And she accepted the proposal that he offered and was willing to go back to Isaac, even though she had never met him before. That might seem strange to us today. We don't usually find our wives in this way. Someone else going and getting them. Perhaps some arranged marriage in the Middle East. They may still do that. I don't know. But it's foreign to our way of thinking. And yet God worked it all out. He is working behind the scenes to make sure that everything is done in the very best way. Now, in chapter 25, we come to the end of one era and the beginning of another. First of all, we see here Abraham's last days. Abraham had buried his wife Sarah, you remember, one he had loved. He grieved over her, and then he went and married another woman. Her name is Keturah. We don't know a whole lot about her. But we know that Abraham now, who was 137 years old when Sarah died, now he marries Keturah, and he has six more sons. So when God works a miracle, you know, it's a good one. It's a good one, right? He still had his youth that God had restored to him and was able to have another family after his wife passed away. So this is the miracle that he gave. And Abraham lived up to the name that God had given to him, a father of many nations. So all these other people went out and started different tribes, clans of their own, which became eventually other nations there throughout the promised land. Notice here what it says about Abraham. he had these sons, and when they grew up, we have to surmise that he sent them away to the east country, it says, while he was still living, and he gave everything that he had to Isaac. Isaac was the heir. He's the one whom God had given him, especially for that purpose, to pass on the covenant from Abraham to Isaac, and then it'll go on to Jacob and to others. But here we find that he's fulfilling what God had given him to do. He gave everything he had to Isaac, and then we find his passing from this life into the next. He lived to be 175 years old, and then it says he gave up the ghost. He died. He died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. So, and it says here, Isaac and Ishmael, the two sons, you remember? Ishmael was the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, it says a little later. And Isaac, here they are, side by side, burying their father. So apparently they had some kind of relationship together. They must have gotten along. And here they are burying Abraham in the cave that he had bought from Ephron the Hittite for a burial place. This became the family cemetery. Sarah was buried there already. Abraham was buried beside her. And then others came along later. And this is where they all ended up. Their bodies were buried there in the cave of Machpelah. And life goes on. So now, the blessing of God's covenant passes to Isaac. It says in verse 11, God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi, which means the well of the one, the God that sees me. So he's, if you will, what a spiritual application a little bit. He's dwelling there where God is. The God who sees him, the God who is preserving him, watching over him, and dwelling in his presence. That's a good place to be, isn't it? To be where God is. So we find then a short paragraph about Ishmael, the other son of Abraham, and Hagar, this time the Egyptian, the maid that Sarah had given to Abraham to try to have children when she couldn't have children. She gave him her maid, and sure enough, Ishmael was the result. And God had promised to Abraham that he would bless Ishmael. If you look back in chapter 17 and verse 20, we found God kept his promise with Ishmael as well. Let's see, where am I? 20. Wrong. Chapter 17, I'm sorry. Chapter 17 and verse 20. Here we find that God established his everlasting covenant with Isaac. And then it says in verse 20, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. But anyway, we find here God's blessing was upon Ishmael as well, and he promised that there would be 12 sons. And if you look here in the passage that we read a little earlier, there are the 12 princes that came forth from Ishmael. All these names that are hard to pronounce and so forth. But this was the answer to God's promise to Ishmael. He had 12 sons that were leaders of their nations. Then it says Ishmael died at the age of 137 and was buried in the presence of his people. That is, he was buried with honors, considered the father of that nation. And these other sons went on to produce their own families. So here we have it talks about where they lived down near Egypt. This is where his mother had come from. And so they were living in that particular area. But now Ishmael has also off the scene. He's gone on to his reward, trust. And the story now switches to Isaac and his family. And this is the family that's going to be traced on through the rest of the Bible. And we find here Isaac, the miracle child that God gave to Abraham and Sarah. He says that he married Rebekah when he was 40 years old, says in verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. So these people, sometimes it's hard to tell which nation they are from, but here it speaks of them being Syrians. So over in that part of the world, at least. And so at the age of 40, he gets married and he's grieving for his mother. She died when he was 37. And now when the servant brings back Rebekah, it says that he was comforted after the death of his mother. So now they're married, set up their own housekeeping. And a little later, it says Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. He's praying for her because she's barren. She was barren. She couldn't have children, just like Sarah. And we see that many times in the Scriptures. It seems like this is a tactic that God uses in the lives of these people, that they cannot have children until he says so. You know, he's the one who is in charge of life. He's the one who allows us to have children or not have them. So here with Rebekah, she was barren. She could not have any children. And Isaac and she, no doubt, are both praying that God would give them children. And finally, we find, it says here very simply, the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, when was that? He got married when he was 40 years old. How old was he when these twin sons were born? 60 years old. So this verse here, it says, the Lord heard them and she conceived. Well, it was 20 years right there in that one verse, right? So we have to have patience sometimes with the Lord, don't we? You know, when you pray for something, you expect, well, by this afternoon, I ought to receive it, right? Well, it doesn't always happen that way. So here, 20 years, they waited until the children were born. It says that down at the end of verse 26. Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So 20 years passed by. And they had to patiently wait once again and trust God to answer their prayers. And then, you know, Rebecca had never had children before. And so now, all of a sudden, there's a great deal of commotion going on inside of her body. Right? And she says, what's going on here? You know, if I'm going to have a baby, then why am I so in turmoil? What's all this going on inside of me, you know? And so she goes to pray to the Lord and asks Him, you know, what's going on? If this is the way it is, then why am I feeling like this? And verse 23, the Lord said to her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now there's a principle again that we find again and again in the Bible, isn't it? The younger one seems to come out on top. The elder brother was supposed to be the one to gain the largest part of the inheritance. And he was to be the next spiritual leader in the home. After the father has passed away, the elder brother would become the head of the tribe, so to speak. And here we find that God tells her, no, the younger one is going to be the one who will be the strongest. The elder shall serve the younger. This was a choice that God made. So the two sons then, we find that they're very different. Even while they're inside of their mother, seems that there was already turmoil taking place. And then when they're born, we find them, he says very clearly here that there were twins in her womb, verse 25. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment. You've seen some, you know, children are always different, right? Some are beautiful, some are ugly. Oh, I shouldn't say that. But is there an ugly child? You know, Doris and I always think of Enzo. Over in Italy, when we lived over there at Vicenza, our neighbor, he was a policeman and his family. And she got pregnant and she just had this little boy. His name was Enzo. That was the ugliest child I've ever seen in my life. But anyway, you couldn't say that. What do you say to somebody when they show you this baby? Oh, my. It's a baby, right? Okay. But anyway, he grew up to be a fine-looking young fellow, you know. So it's not nothing wrong there. At any rate, we find here that Esau comes out all hairy and red, it says, okay? He's a man's man, right from the get-go. That's going to be his life. And after that came his brother out with his hand hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. Okay, Jacob means heel grabber. And that heel grabber, the idea there is, it carries the idea of being a trickster, a con man, a scoundrel, or a rascal. How would you like that name? Anyway, because he was holding on to the babies to his brother's heel, this is the name they gave to him, and it was very appropriate. As we study the life of Jacob, you'll find out that this is describes him pretty well. And Esau, of course, means hairy. So here he was named Harry from the start, and Jacob was named Scoundrel. Okay? So here we find they're born. And we find a divided home. Verse 28. Notice this. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Here we have a problem, don't we, folks? dysfunctional family. We have here the father loves the one son, the mother prefers the other. So naturally, they're going to treat them differently, aren't they? So we find here right from the beginning some problems developing. Because Esau provided a fresh game for his father. When he went out as a hunter, an outdoorsman, and brought in the venison. And Isaac loved that. Whereas it says that Jacob was one who was a plain man and dwelt in tents. He liked to stay home, prop back and watch television, I guess, or something, whatever he did back in those days. And he was a cook, notice. So his mother liked him. No doubt she taught him, I'm sure. Don't you think? She probably taught him to cook. And they spent a lot of time together in the kitchen, getting everything ready. And she just loved this boy so much, she wanted him to be the best. And besides, you remember? What did God say to Rebekah when she prayed to him? He said, "The elder shall serve the younger." Right? The younger one's Jacob. She said, "Aha. You know, the Lord wants him to be the leader. Therefore, let's go to it." Right? So they devised a plan later on, anyway. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But anyway, we find that she prefers Jacob. He's a cook. Verse 29. And Jacob sawed pottage. That is, he made this big stew, in other words. And Esau came in from the field very tired and faint after chasing the deer around trying to find something to bring home. And he asked Jacob to give him some of the soup, this stew. And this was it was a red stew, it says. And it says, because Esau ate this stew and then sold his birthright, they gave him a nickname. His nickname was Edom, E-D-O-M, which means red. So he was called Red after that because of this incident that they had. But here we find him selling his birthright. Now, the birthright, as I said before, gave him the privilege of being the heir, being the spiritual leader in the home, and all of that. And it says here that Jacob told him, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Here we find him coming out, you know, with this tantalizing aroma of the stew, and Esau is tired and weary, and he wants something to eat, and Jacob said, "Okay, I'll give it to you. Just you sell me your birthright." See? He was interested. You know, God had said, "You're going to be the leader." And he's not willing to wait for God to do this. He wants to help him out a little, you know? So he devises this plan to get the birthright for himself. And he tricks his brother into selling his birthright at a time when he's vulnerable, and takes advantage of him in this way. And Esau said, "I'm about ready to die. You know, what good is this birthright going to do to me?" Yeah, but you know, people a lot of times seem to be that way. You know, "Oh, I'm about to die." How many times have you died? Yeah. Well, I think he's exaggerating a little bit. He wasn't in any danger of dying, and yet he would rather sell his birthright than be deprived of this bowl of soup. That's certainly the way it is. So Jacob said, "Swear to me." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Jacob gave Esau bread and a pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. It says something about Esau. Well, let's read verse 15. It says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." So for a moment of gratification, he lost his birthright. He represents the man of the earth who does not believe in the spiritual value of that which God gives to us. Jacob, on the other hand, was determined to have all that God had promised him, even though his methods might not have been the best. God had chosen him to be the one through whom he would bless the world and fulfill the covenant that he made with Abraham. It's interesting to see how God uses different means to achieve his will and accomplish what he pleases. Look in Romans chapter 9 for a minute. Romans 9. And verse 10. It says, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." All right, so it's talking about the purpose of God. And Jacob was the one that God chose and gave him special blessings, showed his love to him in a great way. It says, "Esau have I hated." I don't think it means that literally, it means he did not choose him for this purpose, in other words. He made a choice. And I have a quote here from Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. He said this about the birthright. He said, "History shows that men prefer illusions to realities, choose time rather than eternity, and the pleasures of sin for a season rather than the joys of God forever. Men will read trash rather than the Word of God and adhere to a system of priorities that leaves God out of their lives. Multitudes of men spend more time shaving than on their souls, and multitudes of women give more minutes to their makeup than to the life of the eternal spirit. Men still sell their birthright for a mess of pottage." And that's something that certainly is true, generally speaking. Talking about birthright, you know, Jesus said, you must be born again, right? And once we are born into the family of God, we have certain rights that He gives to us. And I have a reference here to Ephesians chapter 1. As we close out, Ephesians 1, talking about our birthright. And the blessings that God showers upon those who belong to Him through the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." So here we have all these wonderful blessings that God showers upon us that we need to receive, cultivate in our life, and make the emphasis in our life of all these things, and not to neglect the blessings that God is giving to us, our birthright as children of God, that we might put the emphasis upon that which is most important. Trusting the Lord Jesus. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." So we need to put our emphasis on that which, where God puts His emphasis. May we not be like Esau, who sold it all for a bowl of soup. Lord, we thank You for Your precious word to our hearts today. Help us that we might truly accept Your word, that we might be humble in Your sight, look to You, and follow in the way of righteousness and truth. Lord, help us to withstand those things that would draw us away, and help us to put our faith and our trust and our confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in Your precious word, and grow in grace and knowledge every day. Help us to be to have the desires that Jacob had of being the spiritual leader, and not like Esau, who was willing to throw it all away. Help us, our Father, that we might love You and follow You and serve You in the way that we should. Thank You for all Your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.